G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
When Jesus rose from the dead on that first Easter, Pastor Greg Laurie says everything changed. In a very real sense, death itself died.
Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And when Jesus died and rose again, he rendered death powerless. That's the power of what happened when Christ rose.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Two of the most important holidays on the calendar are Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Without the Lord's death commemorated on Good Friday, there's no forgiveness of sins. And regarding the resurrection, Paul said, "If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain." Well, as we prepare for Good Friday and Easter, Pastor Greg Laurie brings a special message today on a new beginning, insight to help us gain a fuller appreciation for the Lord's sacrifice.
So I heard about a man who went with his family on vacation to Israel, including his ever-nagging mother-in-law. Now, there's a lot of great mothers-in-law, okay, but this mother-in-law nagged a lot. And sadly, while they were in the Holy Land, she died. And so he went to a local undertaker, and he said, "I need to deal with this. How can you help me ship the body back to the United States?" The man said, "Yes, it'll cost you around $5,000 to ship her body." But then the undertaker said, "But you know what? You can bury her here in the Holy Land for $250. What a great deal." And the guy says, "Oh, that's okay. I'll ship her back to America." The undertaker said, "Sir, I don't understand. She would be here in the Holy Land, the land of the apostles, the land of the prophets. You could bury her here for $250. And the man said, "Sir, 2,000 years ago, a man was buried here and rose again from the dead. I can't take that chance." Well, I have an announcement to make. Death died when Christ rose. In fact, Easter, yes, it's true. Easter is a day that death effectively died. And because Jesus died, I, as a Christian, we'll never die. You say, "Greg, you're in denial. You're going to die." Oh, I understand that one day my body may go into the ground unless the rapture comes first and the Lord calls me to heaven along with all you guys. But if that doesn't happen, yes, my body will go in the ground, but I'll never die because my soul will live on and one day there'll be a bodily resurrection. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die." And when Jesus died and rose again, he rendered death powerless. The only way we're coming out of the grave is because Jesus was willing to go into it. Easter was the death of death. One person put it this way, quote, "Death used to be an executioner. The resurrection makes him just a gardener." That's the power of what happened when Jesus rose. And this was all God's plan. This came as a revelation to the disciples. They thought Jesus had come as a militant Messiah who would drive out the tyrannical Romans and establish the kingdom of Israel once again. But what they failed to see was he was going to be the suffering Savior in fulfillment of Bible prophecies like Isaiah 53 that describes his death, and Psalm 22 that opens with the words, "They pierced my hands and my feet." They missed all of that. And so when Jesus was crucified, it seemed as though everything was falling apart. It seemed as if the dream was turning into a nightmare. But in reality, everything was going according to plan. That is God's plan. Because Peter on the day of Pentecost said in Acts 2, this Jesus, following the deliberate and well-thought-out plan of God. This was a deliberate, well-thought-out plan of God. Yes, for him to die, but also for him to rise. And Jesus spoke of this frequently. He brought it up. I'm going to die. I'm going to rise again from the dead. 3 days later, they kept missing this memo. And now we're going to see how shocked they were, how surprised they were, how unexpected this event was as we come to Matthew 28, starting in verse 1. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke with the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He's risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come and see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples he's risen from the dead, and he's going ahead of you into Galilee. And you will see him there. Remember what I've told you." The women ran very quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, and they were also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message as they went. And I love this. Jesus met them and greeted them there, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. This is interesting because this phrase, met them, is a word that speaks of a common greeting, like hi or good morning. In other words, it was a common greeting of the day. If I were Jesus and I'd risen, my first words would have been, ta-da. But that's not what he said. It was almost as though Jesus said, hey, like if you're walking down the street and someone's walking your direction, you say, hello, hi, you know? Or if you're in Hawaii, you say, how's it? Or how's it, brah? Or aloha. And if you're in Australia, you say, g'day. And if you're in the South, you'll say, hey. And if you're in New York, you don't say anything because you're rude, right? So it's just the way it is. But it was a very kind of low-key greeting, almost as if Jesus just said, hey, what, Jesus? You're alive. It reminds me of a dream I've had more than once about my oldest son, Christopher, who's been in heaven for 14 years. And in my dream, I'm doing something with my family, and suddenly I turn and he's there. I'm so excited. I'm so overwhelmed with joy to see him, and I talk to him, but in my dream, he always is leaving, right? And so I wake up, and I'm kind of excited and sad simultaneously, but Jesus was here. He wasn't leaving. He had come back from the dead again, and he was effectively picking up where he last left off.
You're listening to A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie. Glad you're along today for Pastor Greg's message called A New Day Dawning. Well, here's Pastor Greg as he continues now.
Turn over to Luke chapter 14. This is one of my favorite stories in all of the Bible. Jesus joining the two discouraged disciples on the Emmaus Road. We read in verse 13. The same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, named Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." And Jesus asked, "What things?" I love that. "What things?" Hello? But he's sort of acting as though he doesn't know what they're even talking about. Have you ever taken a walk to clear your mind a little bit? I find that's a good thing to do. You know, you just want to think about something, and maybe you take a walk with someone and you're discussing something intently as you're seeking to sort of resolve it or sort it out. That's exactly what's happening here. These two disciples are walking, but they're talking. They're trying to understand what has happened to them and who joins them. Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. Did you know Jesus is walking with you too? Whatever you're going through, he's walking with you through it. He's interested in what you're facing. Of course, he knows all about it. If it troubles you, it concerns him. And Jesus asked him this question, what are you discussing so intently as you walk along? So now they find themselves in the unique position of telling Jesus about Jesus. And then they make this tone-deaf statement in verse 22, and it's been 3 days since this happened, and some women said, Jesus is alive. It doesn't say this in the verse, but I wonder if Jesus rolled his eyes. Like, seriously? How many times did I tell you this, you guys? How many times did I tell you I would be betrayed, I'd be crucified, I'd rise again from the dead 3 days later, and you're literally saying, it's been 3 days since this happened, and women said that I was alive, and you don't even understand what's taking place. And then he calls them fools. He says, oh, you fools, slow to understand. And he takes them on a guided tour of all of those Old Testament passages that pointed to Messiah. See, Jesus is in all of the Bible. He's in the Old Testament concealed. He's in the New Testament revealed. So he's saying, hey, here's all those times when I made appearances in the Old Testament, all those times when the story was pointing to me, like when Abraham was willing to offer his son Isaac, and there was a last-minute reprieve from heaven. But remember what God said to Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and offer him to me, and all those verses. And as he's telling them these things, they're thinking, man, this guy really knows the Bible. I mean, you'd think he was there when it happened. Yeah, getting closer. They're beginning to stir. And then they come to the end of their journey, and they said, would you stay with us? And he sat down at a table. They took out a small loaf of bread, and they prayed. And suddenly they realized who he was, and he disappeared. And then they said in verse 32, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? And with reignited hearts, burning with hope, they went back to be with the Christians in Jerusalem. Luke 24, 33, within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem where the 11 disciples and the other followers of Jesus were gathered. You know, with this Jesus Revolution film, I've done a lot of interviews for it, and so many people have told me that they were so moved watching it, and so many people have told me they cried through the whole movie. And I asked them, why did you cry watching this movie? And the answer is something moves them. And I think maybe it's a little bit of a flashback, to use a 60s phrase, to their earlier life as a follower of Jesus Christ. I think especially the baptism scenes seem to really move people because it takes us back to where we were before. And one question I've been asked more than once is, how can we keep the revival fire burning in our hearts? And my answer is simply this: if you want to see revival, do revival-like things. It's a little bit like marriage. If you've lost the romance in your marriage, go back and do romantic things. But instead we say, well, we've lost the romance, time to trade him in on the newest model. Time to abandon the marriage, it's just not working. No, you can get your marriage strong and vibrant again. Don't wait for the emotion, just do the right things again. I mean, think about this. Guys, when you first took your wife to be out on a date, what did you do? Well, probably you actually wore clean clothes. You actually had a thought about your appearance. And then you went to the car and you opened her door for her to let her in the car. And then you went to a restaurant and you pulled the chair out for her to be seated, and then you even brought her a little gift. Remember that? Now when you go out, you close the door on her when she's not all the way in the car. You pull the chair out in the restaurant, you just don't put it back in, and when she falls, you laugh and point at her. And the last gift you brought her was a lot of dirty laundry, okay? So you need to get back and do what you were doing before. So take it over to the spiritual realm. If you want to see romance in your marriage, do romantic things. If you want to see revival in your life, do revival-like things. Get back and do the things that you used to do.
Pastor Greg Laurie with practical counsel for reigniting our faith. But it may be that your faith doesn't so much need reigniting as it needs to be kindled and set ablaze from the very beginning. Maybe you realize that there's some distance between you and the Lord, and you'd like to close that distance right now and begin a relationship with Him today. Well, the good news is you can, and Pastor Greg would love to help you do that right now.
They can, and it's so simple. And I think because it's so simple, people think, oh, it can't be that easy. Well, look, Jesus did all the heavy lifting. He carried the cross for you. He died on that cross that He carried. This isn't about what you do. It's about what He's done. But here's what the Bible says. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You say, well, okay, how do I do that? You do it through prayer. And if you pray this prayer after me, I believe God will hear it and answer it, and Christ will come to live inside of you. So if you want Jesus to come into your life and forgive you of your sin, if you want to know that you'll go to heaven when you die, if you want to fill that big hole in your heart, pray these words if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that You're the Savior who died on the cross for my sin. I am sorry for my sin, and I turn from it now. And I choose to follow You from this moment forward. Be my Savior and my Lord. Be my God and my friend. Thanks for hearing this prayer and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer, I want you to know that God has heard you and has answered it. The Bible says, these things we write to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know. It's yours now. God has given it to you because it's the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Congratulations and welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and we want to help you get started in this new relationship with the Lord. Would you let us send you some resource materials to help you in your new journey? Just ask for a New Believers Growth Pack when you call 1-800-PRAY-FOR-ME. That's 1-800-772-936. And yes, the team would love to pray with you too. Call 1-800-772-936 today. Well, next time on A New Beginning, we'll focus on Jesus' message to the two downhearted disciples and His message to those of us facing discouragement in the 21st century. Today's message from Pastor Greg Laurie was called A New Day Dawning. If you'd like to listen again, just download the free Vision Christian Media app where it's available as a podcast, along with more inspiring Christian content. Just search your app store for Vision Christian Media. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.